Bibles today. We're going to Daniel chapter 3. And just a little bit of an introduction for this passage. A king called King Nebuchadnezzar has come to power, and he is leading a mighty nation called Babylon. And they have been conquering many lands and many territories. They have overcome Jerusalem and have taken some exiles from Jerusalem into Babylon. And they seem as if they are an unstoppable power. And King Nebuchadnezzar is perhaps one of the most powerful men to ever live. And he wanted to boast of himself. So the Bible says that he created a statue that was 70 cubits tall, which roughly translates to about 90 feet tall and 6 cubits wide. So this statue was about 90 feet tall. I don't know if we can get it up there in the back, but this statue is about 90 feet tall, about 9 feet wide. And he decided he wanted to gather everyone in his province, everyone that was controlled by Babylon. He wanted everyone in one place to worship this golden image. And so as he brings everyone, he brings in his sheriffs, he brings in a bunch of people, everyone that had political power was in Babylon worshiping this golden image. But we see that there was 3 people that refused to worship this golden image. Those people being Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And today, I want to look at the story in which the king confronts these 3 young Hebrew boys. Many people speculate that they were between 13 to 15 years old. And I want you to view this lens, as many of you have children, they are not far from that age. They may be that age right now, they may be that age in 3, 4, 5 years. But imagine having the dedication to the Lord that these 3 young men have. And we're going to begin reading in verse 14. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 14 says, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, It is true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. It is dedication in a dark world that brings the Lord glory. And I want you to think about that. That dedication, it's great to have dedication, and there's many things in this life we can be dedicated to. You know, for many adults, it may be your work. It may be trying to move up in position. It may be paying off bills. There's a lot of things in our lives that require dedication. For the kids, maybe it's school. Maybe you want to make friends. Maybe you want to be good in sports. Everything in life requires a certain amount of dedication. It requires a certain amount of time and effort and thought put into it. But today, the question is, what are we dedicated to? For me, when I was young and growing up, I was so dedicated to sports. Sports was literally my life. And when I say literally, I mean literally. I grew up, I would go to school, I'd get off school, I'd go work out from maybe 2 to 4:30 p.m. I'd go home, eat dinner, go back to the gym at 6:30 and work out till 9. And that's all I wanted to do, was work out and become better for sports. And whether it was running, whether it was lifting weights, whether it was running drills, I just wanted to be better at sports. I wanted to succeed in sports. And today there's many things in our life that are grabbing for that same attention. There's many things that want us to dedicate our lives to them and to continue to pursue after them and to invest our energy in. And today I want to look at the 3 characteristics of these 3 Hebrew boys' dedication. Because these Hebrew boys were dedicated to something. But it wasn't for their own flesh. It wasn't for their own desires. Their dedication was to the Lord and to his work. And so I ask us tonight, as we're getting ready to dive into the scripture, how is our dedication to the Lord tonight? How will our dedication not only impact our lives, but the lives of our families? Because what you spend your time on, what you dedicate your life to, it impacts your children. And that's why I want to look at, as a family, three characteristics of the Hebrew boys' faith and their dedication to the Lord. And the first thing that we see about this dedication was, it was a questioned dedication. If we go back and read verse 15, the Bible says, King Nebuchadnezzar is saying, "Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Watch the question here at the end. "And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" That hit home for me when I read that. Because King Nebuchadnezzar is saying, you guys have to bow down or I'm going to throw you into a furnace. And then what good is your God going to do for you? Adults and kids alike, I want you to imagine being in front of, maybe it's the army general. And he tells you, he gives you specific orders. This is exactly what you're going to do, or there will be consequences. How many people would say, I want to do whatever that general says because I don't want to see the consequences? But these young boys at the age of 13 to 15 years old, they had the courage to say, our God's in control. And we trust and we believe that our God will do it. And read verse 16. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us, for he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not," I love that. I love those words. "But if not," even if God doesn't do something exactly how I think he's going to, even if things are a little bit different than I imagined, we're still not going to serve your gods. We're still going to go and we're going to serve our God and we're going to worship our God. Isn't it true? Many times the world questions our dedication to the Lord. Yeah. You need extra hours at work, so why are you going to leave early? Are you going to do these things just to make sure you can go to church 3 times a week? Do you really need to go to church 3 times a week? You're struggling with your bills, but why are you going to pay your tithe? You already can't make rent. You already can't pay for everything you need to do. Why? And there's all these questions of why all around us. And there's no question in my mind that these Hebrew boys face the same exact thing. But like we mentioned, look at the response. I don't want it to be lost on us. I'm sorry, I don't want to repeat this too much, but these are 13 to 15-year-old boys with this response. They've been taken from their home and everything they know. They've been ripped from their families, and they're still saying, God is good, and God's going to deliver us, and God's going to continue to move. And I felt like there was something missing as I was going through this lesson, and I was going through this message. And I realized that we're talking about these young boys, these young men, but yet we don't have any here on the platform. Are there any 3 young men, young boys, that would come, that would raise your hand, be willing to come up and be part of an illustration? If you have your hand raised, come on up for us. Come on up. You guys can come on up. Yeah, come on up. Come on up. We need one more. Okay, come on up. Come on. Oh, you want to come? I got one more for you. I'll bring you up towards the end, okay? You want to take a seat right there for me. All right. Everyone, meet Shadrach. Hold it towards him. Hold it towards him. Meet Meshach. And meet Abednego. You guys are pretty courageous, huh? I'm talking. You guys are pretty courageous, you know? The king, imagine the king. He's looking at you and saying, I'm going to throw you in a fiery furnace. But you said, no. I'm still going to worship my God. I'm still going to stand strong. My God is good. My God is awesome. You guys want to stand right here for me? You guys step up. I just want to make sure they can see your names. Because these 3 young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and man, I hope I just read those right. They're about to go through an amazing journey. And I want to continue reading in verses 18. Like it says, but if not, Be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship thy golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Oh, now you guys did it. You guys made him really mad. You guys made him really mad. He says, into the furnace. He says, the furnace is going to be 7 times hotter than I've ever heated up for anyone else. Aren't you guys excited to go there?
Yay!
Yep. You good? But watch, the king does have rage here. And once the Hebrew boys had defied the golden image, they had defied King Nebuchadnezzar, and they said, no, we're not going to bow down to your image. The king was mad. And the king was mad, and the world gets the same way, don't they? When they have a certain agenda, they have a certain idea that they're pushing, they just want you to accept it. They say, tolerate this or tolerate that, and I'm not here to jump into that. But the world can get really upset really quick when we stand for our Christian faith. And there are a lot of people in workplaces, in secular workplaces, that they're being bullied and they're told just to be quiet, just to not talk and just to go with the flow. I don't believe we should be arrogant. I don't believe that we should get in everyone's face, but I believe we should be a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood up in front of a king. If they can stand up in front of a king, can we stand up to someone that is our same age? Someone that has the same position as us? But why is it that we don't? What is it inside of us that says, no, I just better do what they say. I just better take a step back. And this is why my heart was so burdened to preach this message to this family setting tonight. Because the children are watching. Yeah. The children are watching every move that we make and everything that we do. And how sad it would be if they walk away saying, I just need to go with the flow. I just need to continue to follow along and to continue to do what everyone else says, because that's the way things are. I want a generation of young people to rise up and see the boldness that their parents had, to see the boldness that their Sunday school teacher had, to see the boldness that their preacher and his preacher's wife had, and say, I want that same thing. I want to live my life the same exact way. And I want you to think about this. I learned this pretty quick this past week. It's hot here. Yeah. It's humid. Yes, it's bad. Like, I'm serious. We were walking around hanging some flyers for VBS. And can I say, kids are so excited for the VBS coming up. It is such a blessing to see. I literally told this one kid about it. He was in his front yard. I said, we got Vacation Bible School coming up. We'd really love if you'd come out. It's just in a couple weeks. He looks at it. He says, He says, this is our chance to get out of the house. And literally sprints into the house and he flings the door open, runs into his house. And I said, that's it. That's exactly what we want. We want to get a community that's excited about coming to learn about the Lord. And I hope that we're doing the same exact thing in our homes. We're creating that environment of serving and loving one another and growing towards the Lord. Because as we live out faith, people will get upset. But there's still those people that still want it. There's still those people that need that light that Jesus has and that they need you to bring to them. Because we see that even though the king was raged and he said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, in the fire with you. We see that the Lord's hand was still at work and we see the Lord's protection. And although the servants of the kings perished while bringing in, isn't it so cool that these three young men were unharmed? If we jump into the scripture in verses 22, it says, therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men into the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. And I want to look here, and we see even though these three were thrown in the furnace, and they had to go into heat that I'm sure any of us, if we were ever faced with that circumstance, it would be hard for us to make the same choice that they did. But we see God does yet another miracle. And isn't it so, it's so crazy how we forget the miracles that God has done. We forget that our God is the God of all creation. Our God has created the mountains. Our God has created the valleys. Our God has created the trees. Our God has created the seas. Our God has split the Dead Sea. Our God has done all these amazing things throughout Scripture. As you read through Scripture, you read miracle after miracle. You read about Jesus making the blind to see, making the lame to walk. But we forget it in our own lives all too often, don't we? We get our back against the wall. Something in our life happens. And all of a sudden, we forget about how good God is. And we may not say it out loud, but we forget about the miracles of God. We forget about everything that God has done. When God, throughout history, has proven every single time he's going to come through in his word. Amen. Will we trust his word? That's what it comes down to. Will we begin to run to the word when things get difficult? Because we see that Jesus is never far off. And in verse 25 specifically, he answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking to the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." You can come up. Come up. The Son of God. Have you stand right behind them? Isn't it amazing in our darkest times, the times... I don't know about you, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but you guys were like, man, it's getting a little hot in here, huh? As the furnace was open, you're kind of like, oh, I don't really want to go in there. God, you got to do something soon. God, I trust you, but God, you got to do it soon. But the Son of God, right on time, right in the fire with us. But isn't it crazy, in the midst of the storm, that's when we get our eyes off of Jesus? I couldn't help but think of Peter as I read this story. I'm sure most of you know it. Jesus told Peter to come out and walk on the water. And Peter took his first step, and then he began to walk on the water, and then he began to get confident, keeping his eyes on Jesus. But what went wrong for Peter in that story? He got his eyes off of Jesus. He got his eyes off of the wind. He got his eyes on the waves. He got his eyes on that furnace. He got his eyes on the heat and the death that was surely to come. But through most of our trials and all of our trials, if we would just keep our eyes on Jesus, we see he's still there. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he promises that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Matthew 5:11 and 12 says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." And God is saying, yeah, things are going to come. People are going to say mean things about you. Even when all you're trying to do is serve the Lord and all that you want to do is give God the glory for everything he's doing in your life, they're still going to say mean things about you. They're still going to say bad things. They're still going to say untrue things about you guys. But isn't it great that we have a Savior that covers it all? Amen. No matter what someone may say about you, no matter what someone will do, if you stay dedicated to the Lord will continue to do a great work. As we continue reading on in verse 26, the Bible says, it's our last scripture, "Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power. Nor was an hair of their head singed, neither was their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill. Because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Nebuchadnezzar encountered the Lord. Nebuchadnezzar, again talking about this dedication, we see that their dedication was questioned by King Nebuchadnezzar. We see that their dedication was tested. He said, okay, if you're so dedicated to the Lord, I'm going to throw you in this furnace. Their dedication was questioned and tested. But thirdly, I want to look that their dedication was life-changing. And yes, their dedication changed their life forever because their dedication, don't make this mistake, God wants to do amazing things in our lives, but he needs us to trust him to do it. Because these three trusted the Lord, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because they trusted the Lord, they saw the Lord show up in a special and miraculous way. And I ask you tonight, are you trusting the Lord in such a way that he can show up and do miraculous things? There is nothing wrong with coming to church and listening to the preaching, but once we go home, once we're with our families, once we're by ourselves, are we taking that step of faith to say, God, I want to see you do something miraculous. God, I want to see you do something special and something that will not only change my life, but it's going to change the people around me. Because we see that's exactly what happened. These Hebrew boys had the faith. They had the dedication. But whose life did it change? Amen. It changed King Nebuchadnezzar's. They said, we're not going to turn away. You may question our faith. You may test our faith all you want. Amen. But we're not going to turn away. We're going to continue trusting the God. Amen. And because of that, we've seen that King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. Wait, I threw them into a fire. I heated it 7 more times than I usually would. They should have been dead within milliseconds. But here they are. They don't even smell like smoke. How'd you do that? You didn't smell like smoke. Your hairs weren't singed. Your clothes weren't even burned. You know how you did it? Because Christ was with you. Because the Lord was with you and the Lord was doing a great work in your lives because they trusted the Lord in all that he did and trusted that he was going to continue to deliver. You guys can go ahead and sit down. You guys can take the Masters of Art with you if you want. Or you can give it back to me, yes. But thank you. It really was just a test for Colston. I wanted to see how long he could stand in the same spot so I could hold it against him in school. I'm just kidding. Colston. Yeah. Oh. Okay. Thank you all for coming up. And I want us all to just take a second and reflect. And if everyone would, everyone in the auditorium, I'd like you guys to all look down and look at your knees, look at your legs, look at the floor before you. And I want you to picture something with me and reflect in just the closing moments. In our lives, we meet people every day. In our lives, there's something happening and things are changing. But I want to bring a few people up to the altar while you all have your eyes down and your eyes on the floor. The first is a small boy that is struggling in school. He feels as if he has no friends. He feels as if there's no one that will be with him. He feels as if making friends is almost hopeless at this point. What's the point of coming to school every day and going to different places if no one wants to be my friend, no one wants to reach out their hand, no one wants to help me? The second person I want to bring up is just a convenience store clerk. They work at Dollar Tree. They're struggling to make ends meet for days, weeks, and months. They don't know where that break is going to come from, and all they need is a friendly smile to get them through that day. All they need is a word of encouragement, someone to tell them how much the Lord loves them. And thirdly, I just want to bring up a neighbor. We all have neighbors. This neighbor is struggling with their health. They've been down on their luck. They're behind on their bills. They don't know where to turn. They need the love and kindness of God in their lives. And they need it from you. If everyone will look up. Sometimes we can get so busy looking at ourselves and looking at what's right in front of us that we don't see the hurting world all around us. We don't see that Dollar Tree clerk that's looking for a friend that needs someone to encourage them in the Lord. We don't see that neighbor that's been hurting and they need someone to tell them about the Lord. We don't see that fellow kid playing on the swing set, or we don't see that kid at school that needs a friend. And I encourage you as you go out this week that you would live dedicated lives. And your dedication will be questioned. It will be tested. But as you live a dedicated life and as you help and lead your families to live a dedicated life, the people watching you, the people around you, their lives will be changed. And it will be not because of you, but because of a work that God did as you remain faithful. I encourage you, as you live a dedicated life this week, that you would look past yourself, that you would take moments when you're out and about and you would look up. You would notice the faces. You can see a lot by body language. You can see someone that's hurting, someone that's maybe not having a great day. I encourage you to just go up and introduce yourself. I know it's not too popular in our culture today, just introduce yourself to a stranger. But I encourage you to step out of your comfort zone. Encourage someone in the Lord, because you never know how bad that person may need it. You never know how bad that clerk at Dollar Tree or that neighbor, you never know how bad they need to be encouraged until you talk to them and they really share their burdens with you. And I'm so excited for this family, this intertwined service we're having on Sunday nights now. And I cannot wait to see how it continues to grow the families in the church and continues to push us all to be more like Christ. And I encourage you, stay faithful. There's a lot of things in this world you could dedicate your life to, but there's nothing, nothing in this world that is more worth it, more worthy of spending your life on, dedicating your life to, than serving the Lord. You will be questioned. You will be tested. But your dedication could change a life this week. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this day, Lord. I thank you so much for all the families tonight, Lord. And I pray that you would just continue to grow us, Lord. I pray that you would continue to help families grow closer together, Lord. Help them to grow firm and have a firm foundation in you, Lord, to live dedicated lives to you, dear God. And Lord, I pray that through these next just couple minutes of answering questions and asking questions to the children and adults, Father, Lord, I pray that you would spur our memory, dear God. Lord, I pray that you would help us to grow in you today. Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Real quick, this is something I really wanted to do. I heard there's kids in a service, there's adults in a service. What do kids and adults have in common? They love candy. That's right. I don't know where it came from, but they love candy. And so this one's going to be for the kids. All right? All kids, I need your attention here, okay? What were the name of the three Hebrew boys that we talked about tonight? I think I saw Forrest first.
It was Meshach, Abednego, and there's one other I forgot.
Starts with an S. Yeah, Johanna, do you want to help him out? Shadrach, that's right. That's right. And I'm going to give you guys both a piece of candy. Oh, okay. Which one you want? Which one you want? This one? Whoop, bombs away. I'm so sorry. I'm a horrible throw. What book of the Bible did we read out of tonight? Yeah. Daniel, that's right. Do I dare do it? I dare do it again. Yay. Let's go. And whose life was changed at the end of the story? Okay. Who was it?
Right over there with the glasses.
The glasses?
Over there on the far
side. Glass? Okay, I see it. King Nebuchadnezzar. All right, this one's a long one. Extending the range.
Oh, good job.
I'm sorry. I'll try to be better. I'll work on the throwing motions this week. I'll work on it. So, and if what did we? What was the main attribute that we talked about tonight? Main attribute. So what was? Let me ask it this way: what was questioned, tested, but was also life changing? Yes. Yes, but what did they have that allowed them to take that stand? I can't argue with it. I can't argue with it. Am I going to say he's wrong? Is there anyone that has another word? It starts with a D. Yeah. Dedicated life, that's right.
Yay!
I'm so bad. I have really enjoyed the opportunity to get up here and share what the Lord has laid on my heart. I hope it was a blessing to you and your family. Are we going to dismiss right to the... You're gonna